What is phase two?
New day is done. The day of the
Power Cosmic Podcast.
Gathered from around the galaxy comes the world's greatest comic book fans, all in one terrific podcast. It's the
Power Cosmic Podcast.
With your host with the most, the man who puts on Terrific Con, the world's greatest Comic Con every August at the Mohegan Sun in Uncasville, Connecticut, Mitch Halleck. Joining Mitch each week will be an assembly of his terrific super friends. Join them as they talk about comic books, movies, and more. It's the Power Cosmic Podcast.
Power Cosmic Podcast.
Hey everybody, it's your old pal Mitch Halleck here at the Power Cosmic Podcast. You are in for a treat. Last weekend, I happened to go on a comic book hunting session with my pals Scott and Chris, and we traversed the great Nutmeg State, starting in Bridgeport, Connecticut at the Black Cat Comic Book Shop, headed north to Newtown, Connecticut to my local comic shop, which would be Cave Comics, stopped for some food at Burgeritaville, and then got back on the highway and headed all the way up north to the edge of Connecticut, almost to Massachusetts, to Torrington, Connecticut, where we went to My Mother Threw That Away, which was a shop that Chris loved. And then we actually went over to Waterbury to Richie's Comics, but unfortunately we had too much comic book chase and fun, and they were closed by the time we get there. So next time we have to go and check out some more of Connecticut's greatest comic book shops here on the Power Cosmic. So what you're about to hear is a bunch of guys who love comic books driving around talking about when they first found comic books, what was their favorite one their dad gave them, or what book they saw and they always wanted, and what to do if you're lactose intolerant and you crave chocolate milkshakes, and what not to do. Yes, the good, the bad, and the ugly, all today on this epic long version of the Power Cosmic. So it's best to sit back, put it on if you're going for a long walk, if you're going for a long drive, or maybe you're working around the house and you're eavesdropping into a conversation at the booth next to you of these three guys who are way too into comic books and listening to what they have to say. So it's pretty funny. I got a couple laughs out of it, and you learn a lot about what people will do for their love of comic books. Take care. We'll be back next time for some more adventures on the Power Cosmic Podcast.
But is it taping now? It doesn't have the little thing.
All right, this is on the... Now it's got that guy's name again. What the hell, man? All right, this Power Cosmic on the road. We're here... What day is today? November 3rd, Saturday. Two successful comic runs. We're on a stop. Scott and Chris are here. You're the very first time you're on the Power Cosmic, and we're talking about what, first comic books, or how you learn to read? All right, that's all right. That's good. As we're waiting for our healthy milkshakes and burgerita things, there. All right. Okay. No, tell Sharon. All right. What happened, Chris? Where did you learn to read from? Reading Men's Magazine? Is that what you said?
Well, my dad, when I was little, when we first moved to Watertown, I was probably 8, 9 years old, and my dad was a voracious reader, so The house was covered with paperback books, the spy books we were just talking about, the Mac, the Executioner, and things like that. So I always saw all those neat little covers.
So you can hear
your imagination at 9 years old.
They're always the same cover, by the way.
It's always a bikini
and a guy with a gun.
I noticed an explosion in the back,
and he's running, maybe.
Yeah. So, yeah, 8, 9 years old, I was following along. And so he also got me my first comic books.
Here's lunch.
Yep.
And here's lunch.
Enjoy it.
Thank you very much. Awesome.
Thank you. Thanks, man.
So, I got my first comic books from my father. I still remember which ones they were. But at the same time, you're learning to read in school. So I was like, when you're in school, you're... Whatever you're reading in school, you're reading, school books, text. I saw these...
Wait, didn't they have a library at your school?
Yeah.
Yeah, the only books the Catholic school library had that were okay to read were like Lone Ranger books. And they were from the 50s or something. Because I'd read them like, oh, this... Or Tarzan.
But who went
Tarzan in the Lost City, Tarzan in the City of Gold.
Then you went to the library for school because you had to.
Yeah, they had it down the hallway. So, it's like, oh, you want to go... And you had to get a book. You had to do a book report.
Remember that stuff?
Yeah.
It was fun.
So then, my dad, I kind of just followed along. You know, if my dad likes to read, you know, and he's got these cool books, I would pick them up when he.
You didn't have brothers and sisters?
I did. They were younger. I'm the oldest.
Oh, all right.
So I, you know, I started kind of picking up the paperbacks because, you know, reading in school. And I was
you
like,
just
you could use your
was he collecting them or just throwing them around?
He literally was taking them like we do with comic books where you have the reader
stacks.
Copies.
Yeah.
He just had piles of them, so I just pick them up. And he also got me my first comic books because they were hand-me-downs because he used to get them when he was younger. And I still remember which ones they were. It was X-Men 44, Red Raven. Let's see, Daredevil number 40. I think it was Birdman on the cover. I don't know if that's his actual name, but it was Daredevil number 40.
It's the Animan.
And it was one of the Animan.
They have the gorilla, the bird
and it
guy,
was the bird guy.
And the frog? And the frog guy, yeah.
And so I got that. And
that was that a Roy Thomas?
I don't know, but
those are pretty lame
Roy
stories.
Thomas is the one that brought the Red Raven into the X-Men.
He did, because that's a World War II guy.
Yep.
I'll give him that.
There was
Hulk,
I think
that
it was
one.
Hulk 104
the
with
Angels
the Rhino on the cover.
What?
Hulk 104 with the Rhino on the cover. I think it was 104, but it was one of the early Hulks. So he gave me these. And Avengers 52, the with the Grim Reaper. Yellow background. And just
that's
jumped out of you with the
brother,
Black Panther. Yeah, Wonder Man's brother.
Wonder Man's brother, yeah.
So, like, you know, 8, 9 years old, I didn't know who any of these guys were, but I immediately was like, these are better than the school books because now my imagination, I can see who these guys are. You know, these are right. This is what they look like. So, boom, I was hooked. So between that and spy books, I mean, my dad read the comic books. He basically, whatever he put in front of me, read. So
was
he
reading
it
in magazines?
Yes.
Which magazines?
Cracked,
Crazy. My dad would read Mad Magazine.
No, he got me the early, like, the Eerie and Creepies.
Oh, yeah?
I didn't know this. I still have some of the originals.
Oh, wow.
Because I never paid much attention to it because I love the stories and the artwork. I went back for Terrificon to get out the books to get autographed and stuff. I said, you know what? Here's the box. And I said, oh, my God, these are the Creepies and Eeries. They're from the early 60s.
Oh, wow.
Because he was getting them. And I was just taking them and, you know, reading them. I wasn't doing it. But so that was how I got into the whole thing with the comic books. So as soon as I was old enough to ride a bike in town, I was on the bike and I was...
Were they having the drugstore?
Yep. So it was Marcel's Variety
Store.
No,
we had Liggett's Drugstore. That was ours. I think that was a chain. Liggett's, you didn't have a Rexall prescription thing?
Oh, sorry.
No? That's right, Long Island.
Yeah, we had Genevieve's.
Yeah, Genevieve's. Yeah.
I heard of Liggett's. Yeah, that must have been something.
Well, they got Walgreens now, and you have, like, what the hell? It was like CVS.
Rite Aid, CVS.
Right, yeah.
But yeah, but Marcel's Variety Store is right up, is like a half mile up the road from where Legends is.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Where, right on Oakville?
Yep.
Oh, so you know that whole area.
I know that whole area. I grew up there. So
where's
I was
the first comic book store you went to? That's one. What are you looking for, a napkin?
That first comic book store is one I was
sauce
just...
sauce or something.
I was just showing
right
up. Oh, look at that.
What kind do you want?
Hey, taco type sauce or something.
There's that. There's another green thing in the back.
So the first comic book store I ever went to was the Bookie in East Hartford. And that was what I was talking to Jay about. And with Hal Kinney. And that was when my mom... So I blame my mom... When they didn't like the thousands of comic books years later, I said, that's your fault because you introduced me to the Bookie. Because I didn't know there was a store. At the time, stores sold comic books. I walked in. I still remember walking in the front door with my father going, oh, my God. It's
the first
nothing
time
but
I ever knew about that was the Paperback Trader. It was in New Haven. And Mike Zeck was shopping there, too. And this was like the late 70s. And there was like, it wasn't like the comic shops we go to now. It was literally a bookstore. It had like paperbacks and hardcovers, and then there was like a little section up front where they'd have comic books, and the new books would come in, and they'd have like a little mail slot thing, like they'd have them labeled like new comics, and it was only Spider-Man, DC, and Marvel. There was no other companies.
No Charlton.
No, there was none of that. No. And then, but I think I would get most of my books still at the local pharmacy. With the spinner racks?
Yeah.
They seem to have more than anybody, you know?
Yeah, so a 7-Eleven opened up.
And you didn't know what you were going to get either, too. It's like, oh, I'll try this.
Yes, right? So I didn't like the numbering. Like, when I went to the Bookie, and you could... I didn't know I was missing issues in between things. Like,
I think they set up the books back then knowing that the kids weren't probably going to get the next month.
I didn't know.
Because self-contained, most of them.
Yeah, you said, you went to the 7-Eleven or whatever, and you just bought what was on the racks. I didn't know there was...
Well, they would refer. It was probably Roy, but they would have those little messages. Hey, way back in issue 2. And you're like, oh, I got to go find issue 2. You know?
And so when we discovered that, it was like a whole new world. And I was like, wow.
But don't you remember the origins of Marvel Comics? That's when I actually got
the book
that had all the origin stories. I had two copies of it because I wore that one out so much the binding came out and the pages were coming out of the book, you know?
I still have the original one. I don't think I have Sons of Origins, but I have the original one. And I also have a Captain America Sentinel of Liberty one that's got the painted cover.
Bob Larkin, I think. Bob Larkin would be the guy that paints all his pictures.
Yeah, but that was an exciting time.
Oh, wow. That's the old stock, the cover shop.
It's almost like Barbara Gordon's apartment. She presses the button, the door opens, and it's all...
I think you're going to make maybe a beer thing in there.
Oh.
Well, when that tornado came back in the summer, it tore a chunk of the roof off.
We
got a small tornado. Yeah, it just literally, like, the whole back corner was just gone. Anyway, we had tornadoes here. We never used to get tornadoes, but now we get tornadoes more often than you think now. It's like, wait, what happened to the weather? So that's a riveting Power Cosmic. We're talking about the weather now. You know, it's going to that. So you got this. You had the origins of Marvel Comics. You had it, too. We all did, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who bought the coins, though?
Oh, I still have my Spider-Man coins.
You saved up and bought those? How much were they back then? Because I used to see those. The bronze, was it bronze, silver, and gold? And it was Spider-Man, Conan, and the Hulk, right?
That's the three. There was three of them. I don't remember a different metal. I thought they were all bronze. But some of them you could get as coins, and some were necklaces.
Hmm.
Yeah, it was a big thing in the 70s for men to wear big, gigantic necklaces.
Everybody had necklaces, yeah. That was the Mark.
The man chain.
Mark's. Spitz, was that his name? The gold
swimmer?
Swimmer. He had gold medals, but I remember he always had his gold chains.
But I remember.
See Burt Reynolds sitting there with his shirt open, his hairy chest, and all those gold chains, the hair would get caught in the chains. I don't know what the hell that was.
Let's watch that wearing chains. What happens is...
did you buy the coin or the chain?
Well,
you did what? The chain, didn't you? You did. You were the stud. You're like, hey,
I was like seven when those things came out.
Yeah, you're like, before the hair gets on my chest, I'm going to get this.
My grandmother, it's funny, gave me a Spider-Man coin for my birthday one year.
Mm-hmm.
And the following year, she gave me another Spider-Man coin, not realizing that she already gave me
one. Oh, you could have given it to me.
Well, if I still had the second one.
How much were they back then? A lot of money, weren't they?
I don't think they were.
No?
$5, maybe?
No.
Well, you know, it might be in that Spider-Man comic I bought today. Well, if it looks
I always thought they were like crazy money, like, you know, something that a kid would never have. $5 was kind of like...
Trust me, if it was expensive, my grandmother would not have bought it.
Yeah.
That's true.
She had to send away for it, too, mm-hmm. no less, because they didn't sell them in the stores. I see them on eBay.
And she would actually have to buy a comic to get the order for it.
But you had to cut it for
I don't know where she got it from. The pause you hear is us just eating our food. Yeah.
The very first Cimino Power Cosmic, he and I are at a road stop going to flea markets. And we're sitting there, and you can hear the whole time we're eating food and stuff's dropping out of our mouths and stuff.
Chris, I don't know if you heard me. It's table fries.
You're supposed to eat those fries. You won't walk out of here. Did you ever go to flea market at Comics? Do they have flea markets up where you were? They had them in New Haven. And you'd go walking by, and the flea markets were like literally an empty parking lot on a Sunday. And one guy would be selling fishing poles, one guy would be selling lamps, a lady would be selling sunglasses, dresses. And then there's always one guy that had a trunk of comic books. It was like, what the hell? And they were just all over the place. It was like, you know, $5 to get you 100 books.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
There's some.
Mix and match, get whatever you want.
The back way up where we were going, if we went like through Southbury and like into Woodbury, I believe, is like known as like Flea Market Central in Connecticut. It was
Now everything's got a price. Back then, flea markets were not like...
Yeah, but I never did that.
They were like the poor man's mall. You know what I mean? It wasn't like... Now it's kind of like chic or...
I knew about them back then.
Hipsters or something. We get in there now like, oh, I got my vinyl.
Yeah, and every there now doesn't sell it at a bargain price to get rid of it. They all have
because
it
jacked
up
like eBay and the internet, they all think it's gold.
It's like going to the random flea market.
I was at the random flea market, and there I pull up, and there's a guy selling wooden propellers out front. What do you got a biplane out back? I mean, who's coming in there like, I need a wooden propeller? Good God, look.
Just what I was looking for. Thank you.
My Fokker is complete. But can we say
Fokker on the air?
Yeah, we just did. And the other thing is, what about the guys that would sell the velvet paintings on the street corners? I talked about that. They're like, what? I said, on a Sunday, it was usually a Sunday because stores were closed in Connecticut on Sunday. And you would drive and there'd be a guy at the local Pizza Hut. And he'd be out front with velvet paintings of like a matador. There's always a matador with a bull. And then there was like a...
Elvis
was there, a tiger. You got to do a tiger. Yeah. And there was always a hot-looking woman, like in a red dress maybe. And then Jesus. There's a Jesus on a velvet.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have those anymore. I don't know who bought them. I think my grandfather bought one, maybe, of like a real hot-looking, exotic...
Well, I'm sure my grandmother had one.
Uh-huh.
Elvis, at least.
It's a lost art, man.
I was trying to explain to the guys in my office the other day...
What?
That... Growing up on Long Island, on our highways, not Elvis, but we used to have the hot dog trucks.
Yeah.
And they couldn't comprehend that there would be trucks on the highway that sold food.
Oh, on the highway?
Yeah, like a highway.
Like a 95?
Like your 95 or...
They wouldn't be on the highway, they'd be off the highway.
Well, they'd be on the shoulder.
The shoulder.
Not the shoulder, right, not on the road.
You mean like food trucks?
No, but I'm saying, but not as you're driving 50 or 60 miles an hour. No, you pull up behind and go get a hot dog.
They'd be parked on the side of the road.
That's a hazard, dude.
Yeah, but that's the way it was.
Maybe at a rest stop.
I didn't know if they made.
I never heard of it.
While you're driving and trying to match your speed.
You're talking about like on the actual 95. Like I'm driving 70 miles an hour, and on the breakdown, what we call the breakdown lane, there would be a truck selling hot dogs.
Really?
Absolutely.
And how was I to get this hot dog?
Well, you pulled over and parked next to it.
That sounds very unsafe. When you get out of your car and walk along the highway.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Were the roads wider back then?
Well, you had the shoulders were a lot wider.
So he would be serving on the shoulder of the road, not on the where the cars were.
No, not at all. The ice cream trucks.
Yeah.
But he'd be parked static all day.
But the part facing the customer would be towards the grass, I would hope.
Okay. Yes.
I thought for a minute he was like, the cars are whizzing by me. I'm trying to get mustard. I'm like, oh my God, I just lost my arm. That's why I was like, this is unimaginable.
Oh, just like guys from truck. The window
and this was allowed, though? You didn't have to have a permit just to pull over?
I have no idea, but they're all over the place.
So now you have those guys. They have, like, I think, permits.
Oh, probably.
It didn't sound like the healthiest thing either. Like,
no.
Where'd you get your food from? I don't know. Somewhere between exit 23 and 22. What was he wearing? He was just a truck. I mean, that sounds like death.
Yeah, you know, it was just like, you know, that greasy gray water. They put all the hot dog out, put it on the bun. You put your own mustard or sour cream or ketchup on it.
Just hot dogs, though. Nothing else.
Not that I remember. Yeah. Maybe a bag of chips.
Mm. Yeah.
Well, I think that
I remember buying newspapers on the side of the road. Like, we'd be coming back and they'd be selling the paper. You know, they still do that here and there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you'd pull over and the guy would come up to you and sell your paper.
Yeah. And then sometimes after the big sporting events.
Do they have this stuff in Watertown? You're looking at me like, no, dude. They didn't have that.
No, that was Watertown back then was known as the Sticks. That was the suburbs.
Does anybody have a color TV? We had my grandfather had a color TV. We had black and white. And then he gave us his old color TV.
We did have a color TV because I remember we got the first remote like in the late 70s because then we didn't have to keep my father's telling me to go over and change the channel.
Mm. That was a comedy bit years ago. See, now it doesn't work. I said, as a kid growing up, I always remember those three little words my father said to me and I always knew that, you know, he really cared for me. They go, I love you. I go, no, change the channel. Because they would be like, change the channel. They're like, okay, boom. And when we broke the channel changer a couple times. That was like death in the house. And we had to get a pair of pliers. What happened was we went to turn the channel, and it was just plastic. So if you went too fast, it would just break. And you're like, oh my God. And then you're going to glue it because it wouldn't work. Because every time we went to turn it, the pressure would make it separate again. So we had to get the pliers and put them in there, and then chunk, 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 go back. Chunk, 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 chunk. That was the VHF. The UHF was like a no man's land. You didn't know what you were going to find there. And occasionally you'd put on U, that meant UHF, and it would switch to the other one. And you'd go anywhere between channel 14 to 72 was like radio sphere.
Yeah, you only had certain channels
that would come in. Yeah. We had some weird ones that would come in from Long Island, actually. And that's where I first saw the Marvel Superheroes on Sunday morning. Right, okay. Channel 57.
I believe that's, 57.
My mom would be like, what is this? And I'd be begging her. And we'd have to get, like, tinfoil on the rabbit ears just to get the station to come in.
Just hold it right.
And then Channel 57, ask her to stay. Every Sunday morning at 11 o'clock, Channel 57, the Mighty Marvel Martian Superheroes. Yeah! And then it would be so bad. Waiting all week. you go to watch it, and it would be Namor. And you're like, what the hell? Who wants to watch this? You were hoping for the Hulk. Yep. Maybe you would get Iron Man. Possibly Captain America. Thor or Namor. You just go home. Just go outside. Go outside. Forget about it.
Well, it's nice because the Iron Man ones or the Cap ones, sometimes you get the Avengers on the episode.
Oh, wow.
So that was pretty cool.
Do you remember the weird one where they got the Fantastic Four issue 5 story, but they couldn't show Fantastic Four, so they used the X-Men?
Yes.
They're like, what is this? And Dr. Doom teamed up with Submariner.
Right.
And they stole the Baxter Building, but they don't call it the Baxter Building.
Right, and they don't call...
Dr. Doom, do they?
It's Magneto.
Oh, was it Magneto changing?
I believe it's Magneto in the cartoon, I believe.
Oh, but it's basically a Fantastic Four issue 5. All I remember is the X-Men one.
I'm going to need Chris to correct me on that one.
I'm deprived, though. I didn't get to see these things.
You don't know.
I didn't get that channel.
I'm sorry.
I was very happy to go. I think it was at 7? The 4:30 movie?
Oh, yeah, channel 7, 4:30. Yeah, yeah.
I was extremely thrilled to get that.
Oh, no.
I might be confusing this with the Hanna-Barbera Fantastic Four cartoon, because they couldn't show the Submariner. On that show, he was called Prince Trident, and he was blue.
He was blue. Yeah, yeah,
same,
yeah.
Same facial features.
But they...
But he was blue. I always thought that was a tumor.
They did enough to him to not call him...
Well,
but yeah.
I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. They didn't have the rights to him?
No, because he was on
the Marvel.
The Marvel.
Interesting. When did you get cable? That was like a big breakthrough in our house. That was like 1980, I think we got cable TV.
I was
going to
say, it would be about 80.
Yeah.
I remember HBO. We had
My aunt had HBO.
Because I got Phantasm on HBO.
Really?
And it scared the heck out of
me. I remember she had HBO, and we went over her house, and it was August because Elvis Presley just died, and we were watching HBO. And she called my mother up freaking out. Elvis died. So that was like August 78.
Yeah,
it
was 78.
Or 77.
I think.
77
I
when Elvis
Scout
died?
Camp, when he died.
I think it was 77 because I was Star Wars came out that summer. Pretty sure it was 77.
I think you might be right because I was at Scout Camp. We were out of communication at camp, so when we came back, we found all that out.
Yep, Elvis was dead. That was a huge thing at the house. It was like, oh my god, Elvis was dead.
Yeah, but cable. You're right. We went from getting the remote for the TV, which is the best.
Well, we had the cable that was attached.
The box.
With the cord. And they're just as bad as that. If you pulled the cord out of the box, we had that happen. That was like, don't tell your dad.
And did you have to go up to the cable box and do something to it?
You had to like, chung, it had three levels. Like the first row level channels, and then there was that weird section on the bottom, which have like USA networks. And
The only one I remember watching was HBO because we got cool movies all of a sudden. And I didn't have to go to the VHS rental all the time because that was like a weekly thing.
Oh, really? Going to Blockbuster? Yeah. We were talking about that, Blockbuster. I don't think I went with my kids when they were little, and that was it.
Well, before Blockbuster, like they had all the little 2000. Mom and pop ones. You know, everybody had
it. Oh, yeah, the Tommy K video we had.
There was all these little places nearby. Yeah. Then when Blockbuster came along, they all got swallowed
And then
up.
Blockbuster got wiped out. Yeah. Serves them right.
Well, I remember getting the TV remote was awesome, and then cable TV was so awesome.
I saw a movie with Scott Glenn no one else ever saw. Him and this girl, they go to Japan, and they're making out, and the ghosts... of the samurai ghost and his wife haunt it, and they take over their bodies, and it was this weird movie. I've never seen it again. And there's a big samurai fight at the end, and this guy named Troy McClure or Doug McClure gets his head chopped off, and I was like, what is this? Because the spirit of the samurai possessed Scott Glenn, and he ended up killing the guy. It's like a love triangle.
It sounds familiar.
There's a lot of weird. Did you ever see a movie called The Amateur? With this guy Ben Savage or something like that. He was in The Deer Hunter, or John Savage.
Oh, yeah.
It was like they hired him to go on a mission. He was like an accountant at the CIA. They needed somebody to go. And then he finds out he was set up. But it was a great movie. But it's one of those like...
Was it one of those 70s movies?
It was
like
one
when
of
they
those
did
70s.
Like a political thriller?
What was that? The Oxbow Incident or some weird like story? Nowadays, these movies would be direct to DVD or direct to cable. But back then, they actually were in the theaters, I guess. I mean...
Well, some of that stuff was great.
Like drive-in movie
things, those political thrillers.
Oh, yeah. 3 Days of the Condor and all that.
I love those movies. Oh, great stuff.
Are we ready to hit the road?
Sure.
Go for more books?
Road trip.
What are we looking for now?
Now we're going from My Mother Threw Mine Away.
I've never been there before, so this is a first. This is one of yours.
All back hopes. Issues. We're going to be lots of boxes, lots of stuff.
And he'll be like, I don't know what's there, guys.
He'll probably say something like, Don't mind the mess. We're still cleaning this. Still fixing things up. Still getting.
Have you ever found gold there? Like a book? Like, oh my god, I've been looking for this forever.
I have.
Really? Mm-hmm. Can't think of what it is. Was it valuable?
I've been going there for 20 years. So, well, or 15 to 20 years. You kind of like we did at the Black Cat. You occasionally will get lucky and pull something out that you didn't think would be there.
Yeah.
Oh wow. But he's got like same thing, all kinds of stuff, not just Marvel and DC. He's got everything. And he's in his walls are covered. He's got magazines, treasury editions, but he's got pop culture stuff.
Like there's new toys. Stuff? Like Funko stuff?
Ooh, I hope there's some Funko Pops.
Oh, God.
Sometimes
yeah.
It's new stuff, but sometimes it's other people's stuff.
Other people's stuff?
It's like an indoor flea market.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay.
It's like it's.
Does it got blood stains on it? Did
no,
you like steal it from somebody's house?
Yet. I have seen some cool little Mego guys occasionally.
Have you really?
Once in a while, they come and go. Yep.
Apparently, there's a guy at our show that had Migos in the box.
Really?
They had Iron Man still in the box from the 70s. He had like 20 of them.
20 of them?
He was selling them for $200 a pop at Terrific Con.
I would have.
They were brand new. They were still Iron Man from the 70s. He had a case of them.
I did not see that.
I didn't either.
No, I found out on the podcast. It was in the Mego podcast with Cimino. The guy Art was talking about how this guy was in the room, said, I got him at this booth, and they all ran over there after the show was over.
Somebody reviewed Terrific Con and did a walk around. And I watched.
Great. Oh, it was great. Thank you.
Somebody did a walk around video of Terrific Con of everything they were looking at all the booths. And I watched that and I said, I don't remember seeing
I didn't see half the stuff.
I said, next year I got to pay a little more attention.
Oh, you can't. We're running around. We got to do shifts better next time because I'm like, we're supposed to be doing shifts. What's going on here? I'm the only nut that's supposed to be doing it 24/7. The rest of you guys. Stay down.
It's fun.
Yeah, it was fun. It was fun. I just was like, where did all that? I didn't see all these things.
Well, good thing I had you autographing all my stuff. I would never got anything autographed.
I can't take a lot of credit for that. It was that guy's son helped
Lou Perry's
out.
Son?
I delegated.
Cody?
Yeah,
I was like, and he took and ran with it. He'd see
no, but that's the only way I would get stuff because I would never get things autographed. At the end of the shows every year, I'd come home with a box and nothing would be signed. And my wife was like, why did you give it to Dan or somebody to walk around and go, oh, this is for Mitch?
I grabbed his son and I just said,
I like how Lou Ferrigno signed it for my full last name. I said, you know, make sure he knows it's for me, because he might be like, how much is this going to be? And I put Mitch Halleck, and he puts to Mitch Halleck. I'm like, Lou. But he had nice penmanship.
He did.
I did that. It was very...
He does have nice penmanship.
He took it for some of the scribbles I've seen for autographs. His was all made out like Catholic school. It was like, to Mitch Halleck, your friend, thank you for everything.
That was
like,
kind of surprising.
That's
that.
Lee Merriweather had very nice signatures, too.
Yes.
It was all like... L E E. You can read it. Some of these other guys.
Meow. She wrote.
Yeah.
Give you a little picture of the cat on yours.
Yeah.
I thought that was just adorable.
That's kind of like, well, you're giving them money. They have least respect to write something nice. I think Henry Winkler wrote maybe a little bit, but he was busy. I didn't get anything from Macho. Ralph Macho.
I got a song picture.
Oh yeah. I got a picture with him.
I got a picture with him, but
I had a
sign.
Brief little chat with him while we were waiting for some other people in front of us. He was really cool.
He was talking to me about gypsies and stuff. He did a documentary about the gypsies. The people that went around, they were running scams in New York and stuff.
All the people that like pretend they're going to pave your driveway.
I don't know what they were doing, but he was telling me, to me, the gypsies were people that would do fortune telling.
Oh, that kind
of that type of scam, where you're palm reading and then they take your money and whatever you want to hear.
We have an issue back home with traveling gypsy bands that will come and tell you that they'll repave your driveway.
All right, right now on the Power Cosmic, we're trying to remember the model's name that was in. Yeah, now it's recording. All right, okay. here we go.
Here we are, back on the air.
All right, we gotta get moving though because it's almost 4.
Oh no.
I know, the day went by fast. Cheryl was like, you don't really think you're gonna get to all these comic shops. I go, I do it when I'm doing Terrific Con. She goes, you show up for 5 minutes, drop off flyers and a poster, shake the guy's hand, and leave.
Yeah.
That's different. You don't shop.
You're not waiting for me.
Yeah. Now it's like, let's go look for books. Oh, we'll go through 20 stores in a day. That's not happening.
I thought we'd probably get 3.
We're going to get 3.
That's my guesstimate.
Well, I knew Cave was going to be hit or miss. Black Cat.
Black Cat was fantastic.
Because I'm like, you're going to be there all day or you're not going to find anything.
You got another one coming.
Yeah, I know. I don't want to get slammed. Another guy. But, that's what it's like at Black
Cat.
Two
more, 3 more.
And then you can't beat the value either.
No.
No matter what you find. It's like $10, take whatever you want. I'm like, what?
You're clear for this white one.
But they're not mint. I'm like, dude, it was $10.
Hey.
Anyway.
Condition was fine with me.
You're looking up that girl's name or not?
Most of them were VFs.
trying to look at 80 supermodels because it's driving me crazy.
Well, I remember we were talking about the Farrah Fawcett poster was in there.
Yes.
And then she was the big model. And then he mentioned Cheryl Teagues wearing the fishnet bathing suit in Sports Illustrated, mm-hmm. which was like, oh my God, what the hell is that? And then after Cheryl Teagues, I think Christie Brinkley was the next big model.
Or maybe, as far as models, I believe she was. But yeah. Well, let's go backtrack a little bit before that.
What? Don't do Carolyn Monroe. I don't know.
No, Carolyn Monroe. I used to have this poster. Right. I loved it. It was Heather Thomas.
Yes.
The fall guy. Pink bikini in a hot tub.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Well.
Oh, look at the diner.
Yeah, we could have gone there, too. This is the place to be. Scott wants to move. They got comics and diners here? What is this place?
And let's give a free plug to Burgerito.
Burgeritoville.
That was a fantastic lunch.
Yeah. No, that's where we go there. And, Heather Thomas. Heather Thomas, then there was Heather Locklear.
Yes.
Heather Locklear was on T.J. Hooker.
And Dynasty.
And she was on two at the same time. At the
same time.
But those were the big model girls.
On Rival Networks. That was even worse.
No, they were both on ABC.
But wasn't Hooker on CBS?
No, he was ABC.
You're right. He was ABC, but the final two seasons.
Stripped it? Yes. Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's right.
Adrian Zmed scared me.
The hair scared me.
The big hair, that's exactly. Yeah. All I remember is he had this big pompadour. I'm like, how can he be a cop? He has 40 pounds of hair. Oh, my God.
And he's skinny as a rail.
Was he? Yeah, wasn't he on Dance Fever? Oh, that was another guy.
He was usually
a party.
No, but Danny Terrio. I thought he did a dance thing too.
He did. He was on some dance show. I don't know. Solid Gold.
Solid Gold.
But he was also in
Solid Gold.
He was the star of Grease. Well, the third star.
Oh, Grease 2. Grease 2.
Yes.
With Catwoman,
Michelle Pfeiffer.
Yeah.
And
that was a big thing.
That British fella.
Who? Michael Caine?
No.
The guy that married one of the model people too. He married some famous model. I know who you're talking about.
Good-looking kid.
Yeah. But
he couldn't really act.
No, but he
was on Dynasty as well.
Is that Katherine Oxenberg?
She was the one he married on the show.
Yeah, but in real life, he married. I think he married. For God's sake, wasn't he Michael something?
Michael.
No.
No, in Grease 2, his name was Michael.
No, but in real life, I know who you're talking about. I can picture him. He had this like weird, almost like a Val Kilmer look.
Yes,
that's right.
But he had these like pouty lips or something.
Yes.
Like Blue Steel.
He didn't do a lot, but...
No, but I think his claim to fame was he ended up marrying a famous actress. An older one. Like, somebody was older than him.
And he was in that...
Whoa, did he... What was the woman's name with the hair from Jaws? Jacqueline Bisset.
Jacqueline Bisset.
You remember Jacqueline Bisset?
Oh, my gosh, yeah. She was
gorgeous. She was in that movie with that young kid. She made out with him. Wasn't that guy that played a pony boy?
Thomas Howell?
Yeah, wasn't there. He in the with Rob Lowe, where he tries to get the guy's mom?
Oh,
she's
right.
Really hot
oh.
Like the Outsiders. Yeah, but what was the movie I'm thinking about? Like, they're in an elevator. I just remember she was really hot. That was Jacqueline Bisset.
Maxwell Caulfield.
Yes. That's it. And didn't he marry he married somebody famous? Where the hell is Maxwell Caulfield right now?
I think his last movie was Empire Records.
Seriously?
Yeah, I think that might have been his last movie.
I don't even know. Was that with John Cusack?
I couldn't tell you who's in it. It's one of those 90s independent movies.
Oh, Cusack was in the record store one. What am I thinking about?
That's the one. Empire Records.
That's it? And Bruce Springsteen's in it. It's a cameo.
Really?
Cusack's in some movie. It must not be the same movie.
I must have been not paying attention. Do I have ketchup in my hair?
Why would you have ketchup in your hair? What were you doing in that bathroom?
Oh, I blew it up.
Kitchen?
I blew it up.
Okay, that's more than we need to know.
Lactose intolerant.
Oh, then why'd you get the damn chocolate milk?
Because I refused to.
You don't want to give in to your illness.
Right, exactly.
You're insane. Are you really lactose intolerant?
Yeah, I love it.
You're like those people that have lung cancer and keep smoking.
Yeah, but I'm not gonna die from it.
Well, it depends on how big the shake was, but yeah.
So you got the Animal House thing where they got the devil and the angel on either shoulder going, do it, eat it, drink it, you know.
Exactly.
You guys have been out to eat with me before. I don't let it stop me.
Yeah, we had that massive pizza? Shake
right.
In Jersey, I think it was, wherever we were. Right after one of those comic expos.
East Coast. Whatever.
No, not East Coast. The other guys. The hockey rink guys.
Oh, Garden State. Yes.
Garden State, yes. Yes. So when was the first comic book convention you went to, Chris? We already know when you got your first comic. So now to be on the show, you have to tell us your very first Comic-Con experience.
I'd be giving away how old I am.
Was it in Hartford?
It was in
Was it the Hal Kinney shows?
Yes.
There you go.
1980.
All right. And I was down in New Haven with Wally Wood.
Yeah, and I was with David Wenzel.
Really?
He was the big guest? He was the creator. He was the big guest.
Oh, that's cool.
He had just come off of doing that little stint in the...
On Avengers,
the
Yeah.
So I was like... I was like on cloud nine.
No
like
shit.
There's an actual guy who drew in my favorite team book, and so yeah.
He still lives up near Middletown, Hartford. You know that, right?
I think he said so. I got to have a little conversation with him this year at Terrificon. We were reminiscing about
you guys
that.
Can you?
No, yeah. So yeah, actually, you offered it, and then he held off on it.
So yeah, so Hal Kinney shows in Hartford, and
yes.
That was back when the Comic Cons were really a bunch of tables filled with comic.
Which
boxes.
Is like the Plainfield one I go to.
Yeah, and but for back then, that was all I wanted it to be. Comic books all over the place and dealers, and it was great. And I actually, a few years later, ended up working at a couple of them.
Oh, you did?
Yep.
Oh, I didn't know that. See, there's more history.
When the local comic book store started becoming a thing, I was in my late teens, so I was getting, I had my license, and so I got in with one in Waterbury. Actually,
which one?
6 Degrees of Terrificon. You know, Richie that we're going to go visit.
Yes.
He worked with the guy. His name is Jim.
Oh.
Jim's Comics.
I know. Jim Main?
Jim's name's Florzak.
Okay.
So so Richie worked with him for a time. But so I got in there and I got the subscription and all that stuff. But I basically hooked up with Jim as far as, I helped him out so much. He said, you want to help me out some of the shows.
This is the 80s or the 90s
this is
the now?
Early 80s.
Early 80s?
Yeah, 82.
Wow. 82. You were in the thick of it back in the day,
man.
That's
great. So do you know how I got paid?
In comics.
You got it.
Get out, really?
I guess where I got Avengers number 4.
Oh, no. He paid you in old books?
Yeah, well, at the end of each show, he'd say, what do you want? And I already
get out.
It's lined up, going in, so.
Was it equivalent to the amount of work you did, or were you getting the better part of the deal? Because think about it, those books went up.
This was back in, 82, 83.
No kidding.
Value is probably a little different than now, but loving every minute.
What was
of
that?
So,
an X-Men 94 back in the early 80s was probably $30, right?
Well, I passed up that Hulk book with
181
on at 181 because I still remember that behind the counter on the wall for $60, and I said that's ridiculous. I'm not paying
$60.
Yeah, I
bought it off the rack, so that tells you how old
I am. I'm gonna say Avengers 4 that time period is less than $100.
First Captain America.
Yeah. But
how was the condition on it, though?
It's in the 9 range.
You still have it?
Oh, yeah, because I immediately put it in a Mylar acid-free backing board. Setup.
Back and then, you knew that?
Mylar.
I educated myself
really
fast when I, yeah.
Did you ever read it, though, or just sealed it up?
I think I might have flipped through it once.
That's
I
it?
I've never read it since.
I
took it out once to digitize the cover.
Did you CGC it?
No.
Would you?
I don't know.
Really? Because I had my friend call me up and say the other day, Steve was like, I don't know why you don't get some of the really key, valuable books you have and just spend the money to seal them up and CGC them. I go, well, then I'll never be able to look at them. He goes, you're not looking at them now. They're sitting in a box somewhere. I know they're there. I could if I want.
My answer to that would be you have the option of looking at it.
Right.
Once you
seal that thing up, it's done.
It takes it away from me.
Somebody could break it open.
I don't have any CGC books.
I don't either. And everyone's like, that's insane. I go, well, it's just to each his own.
I don't either.
I don't know.
So, yeah, I mean, so that was...
Some guys, that's all they have.
Yeah. So my first convention was in 1980-81. And then I eventually ended up working a few of those. And they were like Ramadas.
Yeah. Holiday
Inns. And it was great. And so I helped, transporting all the stuff and doing the load-in and selling the books, and I loved it. So
I guess that's
if he was going to pay me in comic books before it, I was thrilled.
Yeah, I don't know what that one was. I must have my gas cap off.
In case you guys didn't hear that, it just cars.
Yeah, my car said, check your emissions thing. I'm like, what? Emissions?
And that was how I ended up meeting Richie, who would end up having the Comic Command years down the road after Jim went his separate ways. Richie was kind of like a partner to him. So I knew Richie would.
How many people would go to the shows back then, though? It wasn't like thousands. It's like, what, maybe a couple hundred people if you're lucky?
If you were lucky, yeah.
Huh.
It was certainly not like it is today.
No. I don't know when the shows got really big like that around here with the thousands of people. I mean, I think that's a relatively new thing. I went to a Star Trek convention up in Hartford at 19th Center, and Gene Roddenberry was there, and they had some vendors, and they had a big theater, and they showed the blooper reel, and that was it. But
which is usually the highlight of
it. Which was the highlight at the end of it. They would put it on, but I don't think they had more than, I don't know, 500-600 people maybe. And that was Star Trek. Yeah, it wasn't that big a deal. There was no Star Trek movie. He was just going around to universities, trying to keep it alive, you know?
Somehow I ended up with tickets to a Star Trek convention back in the late 80s, maybe 87, 88.
Yeah.
And I don't know how I got them, but I went with two co-workers.
Right.
Actually, it was a co-worker and her friend.
Yeah.
He did a panel, and he is a fantastic speaker.
Oh, is he?
He is wonderful.
I've never met him.
Yeah.
I met a bunch of the other ones, though. Did you ever meet Leonard Nimoy? And here was the next door to Macy's was the New Haven Convention Center. There was a Star Trek convention going on, and inside there was Leonard Nimoy. He was there at the Star Trek show, and I remember going down there. My friend's like, "Hey, I'm going to the Star Trek show." I go, "Why?" He goes, "To meet Elle McPherson. I mean, to meet Leonard Nimoy. Where are you going?" I said, "I'm going to Macy's." "Why?" "Because Elle McPherson's there." And he goes, "Are you kidding me? You're going to pass up the?" I go, "Are you kidding me? You want to go meet this old guy, this old actor, or the girl that's on Sports Illustrated? What's the matter with you?" So, but looking back now, I should have gone and saw Leonard Nimoy at least once. Because I've seen Elle McPherson at least twice now. But still,
yeah,
if you're stuck on an island, who would you want to be stuck with? Leonard Nimoy or Elle McPherson?
Oh, not Nimoy. Now. Nimoy could be fascinating.
But you didn't watch Star Trek. You only watched the original one.
Yeah, I only watched the original series, which, of course, he was on.
Did you have the Mego toys, too, Chris?
Yes.
You saw that catalog pages I was putting the other day? I didn't realize there's a website called wishbook.com, and it has all the Sears catalogs.
No way.
Yeah, that's why. Oh, I was on it for hours.
That was how we did our Christmas show.
What I did. I would look at it and circle what I want, and then you'd leave it out, or you'd rip the pages out and staple them, like, here, get this.
But
and
that year, I must have missed half of that year.
Because my God.
I was like, oh, wow.
Did you see the prices on this stuff? That's what made me want to cry. I was like, the Snaggletooth and Hammerhead 2-pack, I think $3.99. I'm like, $3.99? Do you know what that's going to be worth someday? And they had the two variations right there. They had the Cantina play set,
right,
which that's the famous Sears one. And what was this Sears Hulk thing? I was like,
I never saw Hulk Hideaway.
Yeah, I was like, where's our resident Hulk expert right now
I ping Scott Tucky on that, and he just replies, you know, I have one of those.
Oh, I know he probably does, but I'm like, I didn't even know it existed. It says,
I never heard of it.
See the Hulk transform. So what did you do? Was it like that Star Trek transporter thing where you put the figure in, you spun it, and then you pressed a button, and it stopped it, and made it look like it disappeared?
The only place I ever saw that was in the catalog.
Yeah, I never saw that. That was the first time I knew that. Well, I'm wondering,
there wasn't a... I laughed about that. I'm like, why does the Hulk need a van? Hey, kids, I'm living in a van down by the river. But,
Those vans weren't made by Mego.
No, that's what Samina would say, that they were made by some Empire company.
Yeah, where they like all the same vans. Like,
yeah, but there was Spider-Man in a Corvette the other day. I go, why is Spider-Man in a Corvette? And it wasn't a spider buggy. It was just a blue Corvette.
A nice little Corvette, yeah.
He was like, hey, guys. And they're all like, why is he getting... And then there was the Gamma Center that Captain America was in. I go, okay, why is Captain America in the middle of something?
Why is Captain America standing in the Gamma Center?
Yeah.
Hey, you know.
I don't know, man.
But that brought back a lot of memories. That was like,
oh, yeah, the Sears catalog. So if you go to wishbook.com, from like 1940 till now, I don't care about that, but I went and looked up the 70s. Just to try to remember. And then some of the toys that I forgot all about were there. I'm like, oh, my God, I remember. There was pages. You know what they had? Pages of NFL clothes.
Oh, right.
Like jackets. Yes. And you get the varsity jackets. I was like, it was pajamas. Yes. Oh, yeah.
Pajamas,
sleeping bags. It was like 20 pages of just the same thing. NFL, all the teams. And then they would have all the different the different winter jackets, the spring jackets, the windbreakers. The polo shirts with the football helmets on them. Oh, yeah. I was like, I remember all this. Who was this house? And then they had, for some reason, the electric cars had pages on those things, like the different configurations of the little remote control cars, like Aurora or AMF. Yeah. It was like, you can get the loop, you can get the 8-track, you can get the big windy one. I'm like, why are there all these pages devoted to this stuff? And nothing, where's all the Star Trek stuff? There was a weird Star Trek stuff I didn't know they had.
I didn't either.
1980, it was the bridge with these little figures.
Oh, the Mego bridge.
Was that who made
yeah.
it? No, not the one for the 8-inch figures.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was like,
Mego did the line.
This was like, early 80s. I was like, well, I never heard of this.
Yeah,
it was like the line would cut short because it made no money.
Because no one knew about it.
The movie was...
Oh, was it based on the motion picture?
Based on the motion picture.
Oh!
They're all wearing those pajama costumes.
I was like, I don't know what the hell this is.
That's the catalog.
And then, you know, nobody was into it. So
yeah, but those Mego figures. I hate those. Just seeing some of the pictures of the Mego figures in those pages, bro. I was like, oh my gosh, I used to have them all. Or many of them.
You gotta remember, towards the end.
How much were the Mego ones? $2 or $3 each?
I bet $2 and change, maybe.
Yeah, I didn't think they were that expensive, no.
They weren't.
No, because I was, I don't know what the value was. I don't know what my parents had for money, but I'm like, I had a lot of this stuff.
I still remember asking my mom to get some of the bad guys, like the Joker. And
yeah.
She was like, why do you want the bad guys? I said, because the good guys need somebody to fight.
Yeah.
She was like, oh.
I didn't realize they had a multi-pack of Stormtroopers with Darth Vader. I was like, why didn't I get that? You got one Darth Vader and 3 Stormtroopers for like $7.
I
got
it.
I would have army bill of it back then. Where's this address we're headed to? Torrington.
Well, we got to go to exit 42.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, it's like...
There's Oakville. That's that shop we're talking about.
We're now at exit 35,
that's
folks.
Chris's hometown.
Watertown.
Yeah, I grew up in Oakville.
I was in the Army with a guy from Watertown.
No, you weren't.
Yeah, I was.
One guy. There's only one guy.
All the thousands of soldiers I served.
Exactly.
One guy.
Was he about your age?
He was a couple years younger. Yeah, I think he was maybe three years younger than me.
So see if he's in the same age bracket, outside chainsaw.
How far is Terrytown, or Terryville?
Torrington?
No, there's...
Terryville?
Terryville. Hometown of, ready for it, Ted Knight.
There's a
statue of him in town because he's a World War II hero.
Really?
Yeah, the guy...
Probably.
Meanwhile, at
the... Hall of Justice.
At the Hall of Justice.
We're probably less than 10 minutes from the exit to get to Terryville.
I've never been to it. That's why every time I come this way, I hear Terryville. I go, oh, Ted Knight. And somebody said, there's a statue in the center of town.
The exit that we're going to go by is Route 6, and that goes like from Terryville, Plymouth, Terryville, all the way out to Hartford.
Who knew? And you know who else is from here? Hogan...
Bob Crane's
from here. Yeah, he was a radio guy up this way in Bristol, I believe. We just passed Bristol.
He got
smashed in the head. They always said his friend did it. Took the tripod and bashed his brains in. You know, Hogan. No, Colonel Klink just died.
Yeah,
Werner Klemper.
Yeah, I saw that not long ago.
Not to be confused with John Banner. Wasn't that Schultz? See, those shows would never fly today.
No,
I'm like, wow, we grew up. We should be like card carrying. Oh, God, no.
We're very fortunate.
The amount of racist television programs we were supposed to, I'm like, was it? I don't know. People would... See, here's my problem with that is people would tell me afterwards, oh, that was racist. I go, I just watched it. I didn't think beyond that. Like Little Rascals, that was it. Bugs Bunny cartoons, I wasn't dwelling on it. Like, what is it supposed to be? There's an underlying theme. Who told you that? Oh, that guy. Okay.
Yeah.
Was that their secret subplot? They were going to, warp the minds of small children like eggshells, and we'll put it in their cartoons, and they'll never know.
Yeah, I used to have those discussions with some parents about the music, you know,
the
messages and the...
Or the video games, too. Right,
I said, do you really think these 20-year-old, party guys and bands aren't taking the time to go in and figuring out how to do all that backwards stuff?
No, do you think I'm putting a piece of dynamite in a dog's mouth and watch his teeth fall out like little keys on a keyboard?
Yeah.
Ding, 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 ding. No.
Speaking of
an anvil. Yes. Wait, you have a Werner Klemper story?
I do.
That's odd.
Never met the man, though. I remember...
You didn't go to Chile.
1970s talk show.
Yes.
Maybe Michael Douglas.
Michael Douglas,
yeah. Or Dinosaur. Mike Douglas.
Probably Mike Douglas, because I always liked him as well.
Everybody liked Mike Douglas.
You know.
Yeah. He was from Philly, but he'd go on the road.
He asked me, he goes, you know, didn't you think it was wrong, you being Jewish?
Oh, he was Jewish?
Playing a Nazi.
I didn't know.
He goes, did you think it was a slap in the face to your culture and your ethnicity?
He said, no, it's just a job, right?
And he said, no. He goes, that was the biggest way for me to get back to those bastards.
Oh.
To play a Nazi and make
fun
him
of
fool.
Him. Oh, that's pretty clever. Yeah.
That's very interesting.
I never thought of that.
Good for him.
So, but if anybody knows what actual talk show that was, please let me
know. Probably Mike Douglas. Yeah, I can see Mike. Mike was more like open to like, you know, topics. Merv Griffin was not. Merv Griffin was like, ooh.
Well, if I remember right,
tell me about your new show.
Wasn't Mike Douglas on right before the ABC 4:30 movies?
Yeah, he was on the afternoon.
So that's why I watched that going into the movie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I remember my grandmother watched because I guess he was a singer back in the day.
Yes, yeah.
And he's also the voice of Walt Disney character.
Really?
In the Sleeping Beauty, he's the voice of Prince Charming.
Michael Douglas.
Mike Douglas. Mike Douglas. Not Michael Douglas.
It's Michael. I'm sorry, that's
Mike Douglas is the talk show guy.
Michael Douglas was Street for Sam
Francisco. And Michael Douglas is actually Michael Keaton's real name, but he had to change it because there already was a Michael Douglas.
Wow. Screen Actors Guild, you know.
Yeah.
That union.
Three different Mike Douglases right there. Not to be confused with Mike Douglas, which was the name of the dad on My Three Sons.
Right.
Which was Fred McMurray.
Who was the basis for...
What? No, Captain Marvel was not Fred McMurray.
He was not.
Was he? I think he was. No, I think you're right. I was thinking of Hoagie Carmichael, but that was James Bond.
Yes.
People are like, who the hell is Hoagie Carmichael, and what the hell is a goddamn Fred McMurray?
And that's that.
This has been a production of Big Fedora Marketing, LLC. The folks that bring you the terrific Comic-Con, GamerCon, and so much more. Thanks for listening.